If it matters to you, it matters to us. Call TIP today on 1-800-938-007.
Breda joins me now. Good morning to you, Breda.
Good morning, Fran.
And
all your listeners.
Yeah, thanks lovely to talk to you time. Today. You went to Waterford yesterday, is that right, Breda?
Yeah, I had a hospital appointment in the regional.
Right.
And I was there for a good 4 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And all the way down, not one checkpoint. Not one.
And you went from Thurles to Waterford, is that right?
Yes.
Yes.
No, not one.
No checkpoints at all?
None at all. Not a guard to be seen anywhere. And when I had to leave the hospital, right, I got a letter from my my surgeon, and he was he said to me, you know, because it was intense, the physiotherapy, whatever. But anyway, my problem is nice. I was shocked. I got a letter to say that I was allowed to go to Tramore, which is only a few miles out the road.
From Waterford, yes.
Yeah. And there was a guard, there was one guard at checkpoint, and he just looked at the tax disc on the car. I had my letter in my hand, wasn't interested, just passed us off. That was it.
Didn't ask for any documentation
thing.
Or
nothing. Just stood back, looked at the tax disc on the car, and that was it. No checkpoints on the way back. But I will tell you one thing: I was horrified, Fran. The amount of people that was in Tramore, it was like midsummer.
Yesterday. My God.
I'm talking about at least 400 to 500 cars, if not more.
And were the crowds of people milling about?
Crowds of people, friend, the very same as it would be in August. And they were congregating, they were not socialising in any shape, form or description.
No social distancing?
None whatsoever. There was people down, now the tide was coming in because it was late in the evening. And there was still, I could see the young fellas, and we just had to go to the cove, which is maybe 2 miles out.
Which is, yes, it's very quiet out there, yeah.
Yeah, to get away. And it was just horrific. And to see the amount of rubbish, and to see all the dogs, you know, and the dog feces, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like Jim, I agree. Thurles, we will not go into the park now. We will just not go.
Why is that, Breda?
Because there's too many congregating. All the youngsters have taken over the park since the pandemic. Adults, now, if they go in, they just walk away.
And what's the result of that, then? Is that causing
total
littering?
Total disrespect. They're drinking cans on the beautiful walkway we have, you know, and they're just abusing.
So it's ruining it for everybody, obviously.
They're ruining it for everybody, yes. If you want to go for a walk, you have to choose somewhere quiet that you know, but they're everywhere. They're like flies. That's no joke.
And would you be the kind of person who would make use of the park if it wasn't like that, Breda?
I won't go there.
You won't go there at present, but you'd like to go there, I guess. Would you?
I would love to. But I would not go there. No. Under no circumstances. And I won't even go the walkway. Because the walkway down by the golf links, that's just it's an escape for all the people that can't go to the pubs. They're drinking down there. They're drinking cans. They're throwing them away. They're discarding all the rubbish. And, you know, and as Jim said, you know, people wanted to go out and help today. I would have been one of them people if I could, but I've only one hand at the minute. You know, I would have been one of those people.
You would have been out there helping out.
I would have been out there.
But isn't it very frustrating for people who do that kind of work, who volunteer and do it, and then you have these senseless vandals?
Yeah, but it's not even that, Fran. It's just a total lack of respect.
Yeah.
What kind of parents have they got?
And there's the thing, Billy. Are things getting worse?
Yes, they are. They're getting so used to doing what they're allowed to get away with now at this stage that they're just They don't care. I know young people that they actually drive to Cashel to McDonald's. My God, are they that hungry they have to go over to a takeaway?
They shouldn't, because that's outside of their five K.
Where's the 5K gone? It's gone. It's gone, friend.
Well, Breda, thank you so much for coming on with us today, and I hope the health is okay, Breda. I hope you're on the mend anyway.
I'll be okay. Yeah, I'll be great. It's a long road ahead. But no, it's just a total lack of respect of people, Fran. You know, we were brought up old-fashioned way. You know, you respect your elders and check your neighbours and do this, do that. They do nothing.
Well, there'd be consequences, you see, if you didn't, you know.
There would be consequences, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right, Breda. Well, look, thank you very much indeed for coming on with us today. That's Breda. How do you feel about that? Are things getting worse out there? You know, are things getting more antisocial? What's the story? How do you feel about that? 083-311-3811. Now, at this point, I'm sure you are well aware that we are looking for Tipperary's greatest ever sporting moment. And of all the people who have had links with the Premier County, who among them had the greatest sporting moment of all time? And that is what we're trying to find out. And this, of course, in association with your local credit union.
Tipperary's greatest sporting moment with your local credit union.
16 sporting moments. Battle it out to be crowned Tipperary's greatest individual sporting moment. Now, you must decide.
Today's battle to make the quarterfinals for Tipperary's greatest sporting moment sees two key personalities in the competition go head to head. First out of the block is Rachel Blackmore.
It's incredible. I've had the most incredible last few days, and I'm still trying to comprehend it now, to be honest. Yeah, it's phenomenal. I'm very lucky to be associated with a stable like Henry de Bromhead's. You know, he's such a powerful team of horses down there, and I'm in a very lucky position.
You must have always had the talent, though. Why not the dream?
I suppose it's just never something I envisaged could happen. You know, I always wanted to be a jockey and ride in races, but, you know, I never thought I'd maybe be good enough to make a career out of it. But, look, the way things happen, I was given that opportunity. Shaq Hanlon encouraged me to turn professional, and you know, ever since then, things have really clicked for me.
I get the impression, Rachel, that the whole gender commentary bores you just a little bit. Are you careful about being seen as a standard bearer of some kind?
Look, I don't think the gender issue really is in racing. You know, when I came into the weigh room, Nina Carberry and Katie Walsh were doing fantastic things. They were riding Cheltenham winners, Irish National winners. So there was never any emphasis put on it for me. So I just carried that through.
It was certainly a very different Cheltenham for everybody with no crowds there. I'm just wondering, how does that affect a jockey? Or, in fact, how does it affect the horses when there's nobody in the stands?
Absolutely. It was very different, as a lot of things are this year. There was a massive effort put in by Dr. Jennifer Pugh and her team over here in Ireland to get us over to Cheltenham safely. You know, there was very strict COVID protocols, and everyone in Cheltenham and the BHA over there were extremely helpful in accommodating us also. So obviously not having the crowd there, you know, Cheltenham is all about the people. Mm-hmm. The people bring the atmosphere, and it's a very magical place. So they weren't there this year, but it was amazing. It still felt very special. Everyone that was there made you feel special about the whole occasion. You know, it's still a special place, I think.
And Rachel is up against the great Lar Corbett.
Kilkenny were going for the drive for five. That was the whole country thought that there was no stopping this Kilkenny team. There was talk that there was 10,000 spectators now watching them train, and that they were going down watching the best Kilkenny team or the best hurling team that was ever put together. So I suppose that got us intrigued here in Tipperary. We were listening, we were hearing all that. No one was really giving Tipperary a chance. And it looked like that everything was stacked again, Tip, but I suppose we had belief from 2008, 2009, and we knew that we had the potential to keep it into this Kilkenny team, and to be fair, I suppose things fell right for us on the day. I suppose like they fell right for Kilkenny 2009.
And going into it then, what way was your mentality that day? Like, did you feel like I'm going to score goals, or was it just I'm in a good place, or how were you thinking going into it that morning, or that talk me through that day even?
I would never have been thinking any different going into championship matches, challenge matches, training. My train of thought was always the same. I knew if I got a chance in front of goal, my percentage chance of scoring in 2008 and 9 was fairly high, and coming into 2010. Like, I know it's so easy to kind of blow things up and say things were a little bit better than what they were. They're not, and you'd have to look back at games you played in to say, all right, that's how I done it. In game situations like that, you only work on your memory of what you have done before and what you're capable of doing. And if the goalie saved 3, that's fine. I would have been happy. You know, I was all about creating goal chances. And if you create goal chances, you will get the percentages that you're due. I just happened to be lucky to get the percentages all in the one day of a final. But, you know.
And that day, what's the highlight of that game for you? Any particular time in it or moment?
Oh, I think the highlight was the referee blowing the whistle. And I know that's an easy thing just to say, but if you remember back to 2009, we thought we had that one coming into the home straight of about 10 minutes to go. We thought that we might have had this game won. We took our foot off the gas, and we got 2 goals in the space of 60 seconds. And we said kind of as a collective after that in 2010, we would never, ever think again that we had something won around the home straight. So it's in that game, even when the third goal went in, before the third goal went in, they came back down. They had it down to 3 or 4 points again. That last goal kind of gave, like I suppose, it didn't give the true reflection. We won by 7 or 8 points, but they had it down to 3 or 4 in the last few minutes again. So you just can't. It was when the referee blew the whistle, we knew that this is definitely over. We have it, and we don't need to look over our shoulder.
Tipperary's greatest sporting moment with your local credit union.
You must decide.
You must decide indeed. Lara Corbett there, and Lara competing against Rachel Blackmore. Now, we'd be delighted to have your adjudication on that. And it's tipfm.com. That's tipfm.com. And you'll be followed, you'll be guided even to Tipperary's greatest sporting moment there. Tán nuacht agus an old sichacht.
Tip FM's Tip Today with Fran Curry.
In association with Slattery's of Pecan, Tipperary's main Peugeot dealer. Slattery's Garage Pecan, the name you can trust for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie.